Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey folks, this is episode number 150, and today we have a guest because Dennis had something come up and he can't make it. Dennis did not pick our topic because Dennis is not here. Brian picked our topic. Brian, tell everybody what our topic is.
Yeah, today we're all going to create our own festival. We're going to pick five bands that we'd like to see in a festival together. Basically, that's it.
Right on. All right. Well, I will start out.
Wait a minute. You said 150. That's a pretty significant number.
Oh yes, that is a milestone number. Congratulations, that's like a milestone, Brian.
You can just roll over that.
And you know, I have in my notes episode 150.
I'll get 150 tattooed on my arm now.
That's like when we had Todd Dammit Kearns on the other day, and I wrote a note that said Bruce Kulick, and I asked him what it was like being in Ace's band, and I'm like, mother, really? Come on. Anyway, but yeah, no, that's good. That's pretty cool though. 150 is pretty cool, and we usually don't have a guest on those kind of special shows, so you're pretty lucky because
Mitch
LaFon's been on five times, so he gets a gold jacket like they do on Saturday Night Live.
But he doesn't get a milestone episode.
a couple of times like, I didn't get on the 50. I didn't get on the 100. I didn't get on the, you know, I'm like, nope. And you didn't get on the 69 episode either. So there, shut up.
All right. No, well,
there you go.
Go ahead.
Nope. Yeah. I'm sorry.
All right. Episode 149 shout outs. Kalen Provo, Bill Elam, David Cathy, and Growing Up Rock Podcast. Thank you guys for sharing it. The episode we had 148, I believe it was, with Todd Kearns. We had a bunch of people from Twitter. Ivo, Melina Tellez, Blandon, I Love It Loudcast, / updates, El Valador. There were a bunch of retweets from when Todd shared it. So
he's popular.
Thanks,
that was
Todd.
That's an awesome episode.
We kind of thought so.
Yeah, he just won some award. He won the, what was that? He won an award for like the most, it was a fan voted award that somebody created. Is it iHeartRadio? Did they create that? Oh man, I got to figure out where that was. I'm going to look it up. Keep talking.
All right. Well, while you're talking about that, some sad news to report. Ray Sawyer from Dr. Hook, singer of Cover of the Rolling Stone, passed away at age 81 on December 31st. And Daryl Dragon of Captain and Tennille fame passed away earlier today. And today we are recording this on January 2nd. So I have in my notes that it was January 1st, but today's actually the 2nd. And he passed away earlier today. I guess he passed away from renal failure.
Wow.
Interesting trivia. He and Tennille separated in 2013. And divorced in 2014, but they stayed close. And when he got sick, she moved out to Arizona to be with him, and she stayed with him until he was passed earlier today. So
wow.
It was kind of interesting that they stayed that close.
That is. Well, let's see. Who else died today? Super Dave died today.
Super Dave and Mean Gene Okerlund.
And Mean Gene Okerlund.
Now the thing about the deaths today, all three of those guys were 76 years old.
Yeah, that's weird.
So, if you're a celebrity and you're 76, this is the year you should be nervous.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that. That's terrible. Going to hell, y'all. We already knew that, though.
Betty White's shooting for 176.
She is, and she's probably going to make it.
You know, I got meet her.
You did? How'd you do that?
The first time I went to Philadelphia, she was the keynote speaker for the conference I was at.
Wow.
So, yeah. Huh.
That's cool.
Yeah. She was nice, you know. She holds your hands, and her hands are so warm, and, you know, my hands are like blocks of ice most of the time. And she's like, oh, my gosh, let me warm them up for you. I was like, okay. Yeah. Another piece of news that I have real quick is the movie Bohemian Rhapsody. Well, Fox has announced it will be in digital services on January 22nd, and it will come to in DVD and Blu-ray and Ultra HD on February 12th. So for those who are excited about that,
happy Valentine's Day.
And I'm going to shoot out a shout-out to Brian Harris for that little bit of info because I stole it off of his Facebook post earlier today.
Yeah, I was all over that.
We're good at stealing stuff from each other.
Heck yeah.
Man, it was called Big. Big something or other. Big. What was that damn award? That's going to piss me off.
Well, I was going to make a joke and say Big Head Todd, you know, and the Monsters, but then I realized, wait a minute, Todd got the award, so that would be rude. Yeah, Todd really was a good interview.
Yeah, it was fun. He was a great guy. Okay, I got to figure that out. We'll post it whenever I figure it out. I'm so embarrassed. I brought it up. I don't know. I feel like Dennis. That's in Dennis's absence. There, I posted something and have really not a lot of information.
We're channeling Dennis. So
we're channeling Dennis. So there
exactly.
You go. So he's not alone. Let's see. I don't know if I have any music news. Did I?
You said you were going to say something about Motley
Crue. So the Super Bowl has been, Motley Crue's been kind of putting a little tidbits of information out there, kind of some leakage stuff about watching for something special at the Super Bowl. So hopefully that will be a show because the other option is Maroon 5, which is okay, but anyway. And then, or it's probably has to do something with the song they did for the Dirt movie, which that could be it too, or maybe it's the trailer for the Dirt movie. I don't know, but any way around it, I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool. Somebody's gonna complain because they said they'd never tour again. It's not a tour, people. It's a show, and they never said they wouldn't do a one-off show. So, chill. But they're gonna have to get like an ambulance nearby if Vince is gonna do much.
I have a wisecrack.
He's like a one step away from a heart attack.
The Super Bowl makes them pre-record their vocals and everything. So, one, you might actually get all the words to whatever song they're doing. And two,
I still don't think you'd happen. That happened.
Vince doesn't have to sing when he's running across the stage. So, yes.
That would be good.
Yes. Still, I'm going to hell. It's going to be a fun ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people on that bus with you.
Yeah. I was psyched for the movie, but now that it's kind of going direct to Netflix, I'm kind of wondering, did it not turn out as great as they were hoping, or
funding?
I would say, well, funding, it's not the funding, it's what kind of distribution deal they could get.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is partially about funding. So, yeah. Whatever. Who knows?
Well, the movie is already it's filmed and it's in the can. It's just a matter of who they can get to distribute it.
Yeah. Okay.
So
that's true. Yeah.
Anyway, who wants to start this episode?
What are we? So tonight we're picking our five people that we want to see on a bill
festival
for
bill.
A festival bill, right?
Yep.
All right. Okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
All right. So, I struggled with what the rules were, but I like the fact that you listen to the show enough, Brian, to know that there are no rules.
That's right.
So, and we don't talk about it before the show.
Yep.
So, as always, this is live, recorded live, not edited. So, there you go. As you can tell by most of the banter that occurs on here, that we should edit out like 90%.
Then the episodes would be like 10 minutes long.
Yeah, I already complained they're too short, so kind of like Dennis's old lady, but
or Dennis, whatever. Okay. Okay, here's what I did. I just went with bands that were some bands that were not that are currently out but don't have original players, and people that I've seen in the past but just really would like to see that original group again. So that's what I went with. Okay. Except for the opening band. So the opening band on the set, I thought would be somebody that is newer, and in this past year has been something that I've listened to over and over and over again, which has been the band Red Rain, which we've talked about them on the show last week. We talked about them in the past. We had Sammy on, the drummer, back a while ago. It's just, that's one of those EPs. It's only five songs. So if you're going to open a festival, you're going to get about five or six songs. So there you go. Play the whole thing. And they're just a band. I really just like it. So I put them on there. They are my opener. The next band I have on there is a band that I love, have seen three or four times, and it's just sad that they can't seem to get it together either, which is Saliva. A band that out of Memphis that I've liked them from the very start. And again, there are some original guys there that have left. Josie Scott's left. He left a long time ago, actually, quite a while ago. I keep thinking about looking him up and figuring out if he's doing stuff again, but I haven't had the opportunity to do that. But or I never remember it at the right time. I remember it in the car when I'm listening, but not when I'm sitting at home and don't have accessibility to do that. So that's my second band. Third band on the bill is Great White, as you should expect, which would be the original Great White, all the original members. Including, Jack back where Jack belongs, which is fronting that band. Well, actually they need Jack to front that band. Oh. I like Mark Kendall. Mark's a great guy. We chat on Twitter and some other things, and I like Mark a lot, and I think he's doing a great job with that band. It's just that I can't get past the voice, and it's just not the same. It's not the same band. It doesn't have the same thing. So that's the other one. My lead into the headliner is Dokken with, again, all the original singers. I mean, all the original players. I'd like to have Don's voice from the '80s would be great.
Yeah. Last time I saw them a few years ago, his voice wasn't there. I haven't listened to him recently, but yeah, about 8 or 10 years ago, last time I saw him, he was like most of the guys nowadays. He just really struggled.
Well, and Steve had posted, he was listening to the live Beast from the East, the one they did just a couple years ago, and I asked him what he thought, and he said he wanted to listen to it a little bit longer, and I'm like, you could tell the voices were overdubbed, at least his vocals were overdubbed in the studio. And Jeff Pilson can sing. There's no question about it. I see him when he's out with Foreigner. That's not,
yeah.
And so those backing vocals are there, but to get those four guys together again and be able to see it again, the video I saw, when they played the place out there in North Dakota or South Dakota, wherever it was, Badlands, it looked really, really cool. And that's something, a band that I've seen multiple times. It is one of my favorite bands of all time. So I went with them, and then I struggled with the headliner. So I have seven headliners. I actually do have seven headliners on this paper. But I think I've landed on one, and I landed on one, and it was because I only got to see him once. I really like his music, and he died way before his time. And somebody I would definitely like to see again, would have liked to have seen again, and I'm not interested in seeing him as a hologram. So that would be Dio. I remember that very vividly. I remember the show very vividly. I remember his ability to command that crowd very vividly. And it was just a really cool show. I think he's got a great voice. He's fronted some phenomenal bands, and one more time to see him would be really, really cool. So
yeah, I was lucky enough to see, I saw him numerous times. I actually went to his funeral, and it was sad, but it was kind of neat because, you know, you go to a funeral, they give you a little paper, use leaflet, right? This, they actually gave, it was like a program, and they gave them out to everybody. But I was lucky enough to see him in a small club, and this was like around Unleashing the Wolves album or something like that. And I don't know why, I get his popularity must really dwindle, because this is a small place. And the thing I remember most was when he came out on stage, one of the roadies had placed a milk crate in front of the mic stand. And that was hysterical. He got so pissed and kicked that thing. It was so funny.
What a dick.
But wow. Yeah. I don't know if that was a normal joke they played or that guy got unemployed real quick. But
I was going to say yes.
Yeah.
Now looking for a job.
Yeah. So, yeah, but no, Dio was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Dio so that was... and – oh, sorry, Bill.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dio and Dokken were on my list, but they ended up on the cut list. They didn't quite make it.
Yeah, I've got another list going of other people.
Well, I just took everybody else off my list that didn't make it, because then I'd start looking at them, and then I'd get my list wrong.
Yeah, so this is what I came up with this afternoon. I mean, this was kind of
this whole thing was kind of a quick frenzy. Get this episode idea and let's run with it. So,
but you know, it's like that anytime we do these lists, anytime we do these list things like this, for me, I just wait, because if I think about it too much, it's like it takes 3 hours. I mean, you know, 3 days, and then I'm redoing it. I don't, was it the Queen list we did? One of those lists we did not long ago.
Yeah.
I cut that dang thing up like 3 times. I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I'm over it. So there you go. That's my list. Have you guys seen any of those guys before? I mean, have you seen Saliva, or do you guys like them at all? Or
I've seen Dokken.
Yeah. Well, see, I grew up in Southern California. I saw Dokken before Dokken was anybody. So all those 80s bands and stuff, I run around the clubs and see them. So.
Great. I feel so much better now.
Yeah, I saw Dokken and Great White both.
Yeah, we used to watch Dokken, or not Talking Great White practice in Lorne Black, the original bass player, in his garage.
Cool. So,
yeah.
And then they went and lived with, didn't they? Didn't did Jack go live with Don for a while? Is that how that worked? I think that something like that happened. I remember hearing that or reading that, something like that. That's how they kind of got together, and they're buddies and friends and that kind of stuff, which is kind of cool. All right. That's my list.
All right, I'll jump in and do the second list. I chose my list mostly for bands that I have never seen, and there are two exceptions to this. One, the act that I've chosen for the opening act is Brittany Fox. I was supposed to see them open for Great White and Alice Cooper when I was in Germany, but as it always happens, they always start those shows before they're supposed to. And by the time you get in the venue, the opening act is walking off stage or they're finishing their last song. Mm. So my experience getting to see Brittany Fox was getting to see them do about half of Girl School, because that was their big hit at the time. And then they ran off stage.
Yeah. See, I was lucky to see them. It was them, Kix, and Scorpions. And we were up close, and I'm not going to run and get it, but I have like a big one of those like family frames with all the different cutouts. And I have like a ton of my guitar picks that I've caught. And I can't remember their guitar player's name now, but I got a pick from him from that show. So
cool. I've seen them too, but I can't remember who it was with. It was a triple bill, like everything else back that was going on back then.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing them. I just can't remember who it was with.
Funny that you mentioned the Scorpions, because that's the next band on my list.
Sweet.
Even though Klaus Meine was my first ever celebrity encounter, I have never gotten to see the Scorpions in concert.
Is that how you got backstage? Celebrity encounter?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'm editing
now
you.
The truth
Edit
comes
her out.
Out,
Paul. Edit her out. All right. I met Klaus Meine in Hanover, Germany at a street festival. Just a chance encounter is all it was. You know? But when I was in Europe, I was in the Air Force, and I was in a mobile unit, and I think that they actually played one time while we were off on a deployment, so I didn't get to go see them. You know, and then that's just the opportunity in the States has never presented itself for me to catch them, so I missed them. My number three is Guns N' Roses. Now, I did see the Axl Rose Band at Rocklahoma several years back, but I do not consider that Guns N' Roses. You know, I would put them number 3 on the bill, and I would be happy with either the Appetite for Destruction or the Use Your Illusion lineup. Either one of those I would find acceptable, because I can take all of the, half of the songs on each Use Your Illusion album and make a good Use Your Illusion album. Now, my fourth artist is Ozzy Osbourne, the Zach Wilde era, because Zach knows all the Ozzy songs.
Yep.
And, of course, my favorite Ozzy album. Nope, Jake Ely is on my favorite Ozzy album, but Zach's on one of my other favorites, so. I've got a favorite from each one of those guys, I guess. Mm-hmm. When I say each one of those guys, I mean Randy, Zach, and Jake Ely. Yeah. You know, Gus G and all those other guys. I don't know. All right. So, yes, number four is Ozzy for me. And my number five headliner, let's do this, AC/DC.
Oh, yeah.
Well, which, now, if you notice, all of the bands that I've picked were at their peak popularity in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. I guess this is like Alan's M3 festival. But yeah, all of these bands, really, I never got to saw either the classic lineup or I never got to see them at all. But AC/DC, you know, obviously, they're the biggest band of all of these guys. You know?
Yeah.
Of course, some will argue that Ozzy's bigger than AC/DC. Some will argue Guns N' Roses. But this is my list. This is my rules. So if you don't like it, send me your list. Send it to contact@agesofrock.com.
Yeah. Ozzy's filling sheds. AC/DC's filling stadiums. It's not the same.
Yep.
But seeing Ozzy last year for me for the first time was, I was amazed. It really was. It was worth every penny and worth the whole thing. It was crazy. And the fact that Lisa went with me was even more bizarre, because that's so not like her. I mean, that's not her thing, but she enjoyed it. So
I guess cool. I should also mention in there that when Ozzy plays, his keyboard player has to be on stage. That's the rule for my festival. You can't have to hide that guy behind the curtain.
I don't think they hide him back there anymore. They just play the tape.
Huh? Fair enough. All right, Brian, it's your turn.
All right. Mine is actually not going to be a one day or a one performance. We're doing like a Monsters of Rock, or we're going to tour and we're going to fill stadiums with my lineup. And mine's basically called Kiss Fest. So, my opening band is actually, it's a lot of people's favorite opening band for, Kiss shows, and it's Cheap Trick. I just love Cheap Trick. I know they're the by far the most mellow band I have on my list. But I mean every time they ever came to Cali, I went and saw them play. And they opened for Kiss on the Love Gun tour, and I got to go to two of those three shows. My uncle had to work that third night, and he couldn't take me. I couldn't convince my parents to take me. So I know it. They're like, you've already went to two of them. So it's like,
you call this Kiss Fest, and you keep using the phrase, take me. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's yep. All right. Second up, Motley Crue. They opened. I had seen them in clubs. Like I said, I mean, I grew up in SoCal. I was always running the clubs and stuff, getting to see all these guys. But when they opened up for Kiss on the Creatures of the Night tour at the Universal Amphitheater, and that's where they debuted Shout at the Devil for the first time, that song. That was awesome. I mean, that was just really cool. And back then, they were young, energetic and stuff. I mean, that was Crue at its best.
Yeah. Vince was half of himself.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe even right. A third.
Yep. All right, third up, we're going to go pretty hard and heavy, and this band could probably headline it, but I'm going to be going with my favorite as a headliner, but Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden's just amazing. They're awesome. I mean, like I said, they could headline it. They would fill, the stadium on their own with a couple opening bands, but, I mean, there's not much better a band live than Iron Maiden. Their show and Eddie It's like, how many times is Eddie going to come out, and when, you know, how's he going to look? How's he going to come out? My second band, this guy had a big influence on Kiss, and that's Alice Cooper. And that's like my dream pairing. I would love for an Alice Cooper Kiss show, but I guess that ain't ever going to happen now. But
well, you're going to get close. You get an Ace in an Alice Cooper show.
Yeah, yeah. And I hopefully it's going to be coming somewhere around here. I'm just hoping at least Indy. You know, Alan and I are down here in Evansville where we don't get, you know, we don't get really good bands here at Ford Center. So
it'll go to Nashville.
Yeah, that's hopefully true. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, first time I saw Alice was back in 75, and yeah, I've seen him numerous times over the years. And so he's going to be my second up, or my second to last. And then, of course, my headliner's Kiss. I mean, I've seen every tour since 74 and 58 shows, you know, plus all the special. You know, I was at the Phantom of the Park filming, and a couple of videos filming, and all that. And I mean, this would be a great way for Kiss to go out.
So I got to ask you, which version, which lineup? You only have one lineup.
Actually, my favorite lineup is Stanley Simmons, Carr, and Kulik. That's my all-time favorite lineup. I love them all, though. I don't, even though, you know, issues with Vinny now and stuff and everything, I had no interest in going and seeing Vinny, you know, any of his recent appearances or anything. But, yeah, I mean, all of them have a part in history. I mean, even Mark St. John was around for one album. Sadly, he used to hang out.
I thought you were going to say for 1 hour.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, what was sad is he actually, the rock club that we used to hang out to, the Marquee Club in Westminster, California, after he left Kiss and stuff, and after White Tiger fizzled out and everything, he actually hung out there all the time. And it was sad. In a way, it wasn't sad. He had all these pretty girls always huddled around him, but he was always wasted. He was always drunk. I mean, it was just, and he wasn't like happy. You could see he was down and depressed, but that's getting off our whole thing or whatever. But yeah, anyway, we got Cheap Trick, Motley Crue, Iron Maiden, Alice Cooper, and Kiss.
Cool. All right.
I'd
so
go see
in
that
my
show.
Oh, I would definitely go see that show. And that's where I struggled with the top, but I was not going to make Kiss be the headliner because that's what people would expect.
Right.
At least that's what I think people would expect. So I didn't make them be the headliner. And it would have to be like what I ask you is which lineup would it be? So it would have to be like, and for me, that band would be the Gene, Paul, Eric, Bruce lineup, or Eric Singer, Bruce lineup. That revenge lineup,
that was badass.
Alive 3 is, to me, as much as Alive 1 did for Kiss what it did, to me, Alive 3 is a much better record. Just the production, and I know it's time and age, but the song choice, the voice, the Paul was at his peak. It was just phenomenal. That record it gives me goosebumps talking about it.
Yeah. So that's your favorite. What, Alan, what's your favorite live album? Kiss live album?
Unplugged.
Yeah, mine too. I love Unplugged.
That's because they couldn't doctor it. What you hear is what they play.
Great. Yep.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
Go ahead.
When I think about live records, I don't stick that in there. I think about the ones that they called alive, but that's absolutely correct. I would put that in the top one or two for sure.
Yeah. When they did those Kiss convention, or first official Kiss conventions, I was at the Burbank one, and I was like first in line, first in the door. They gave me an autographed Revenge CD, but so that was a show when Peter came out for the first time. I videotaped it, and I still have my videotape. Yep, Kiss got their Peter out. But, I watched that videotape the other day. Of course, the battery died before I got the whole thing, but I did get when Peter came out, so that was cool.
That's cool.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
I think that we'll see. I hope that, you know, as we talk about this whole thing, that we see Peter at some point in the next 2 years, in a show. I think that would be cool. And you know, whether I get to see that or not, it'd still be cool for the
well, you
to
know,
end it that way.
if those guys can put attitudes and egos away for a one-off here and a one-off there, you know, honestly, don't do it for the money. Really, this time, do it for
the fans.
You know?
With that I agree,
but
yeah,
you know, well, there are four pretty big egos there, and you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It would have been nice to see Ace open up, you know, the shows, but you know, I get his how he feels about the whole space van thing, but you know.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, that would have been nice. But
maybe he could have Tommy and the Gene Simmons band open up, and then he could be in Kiss.
Yeah, there you go.
They have to do all Ace songs.
He gave that up. He shouldn't be mad about that. Yep. He's got no reason to be mad about that.
Yep. Well, yeah, I something tells me they're going to kind of do like the Vault, and you'll have, you know, a guy or two show up here and there and stuff, and you know, I don't know.
I bet Vinny doesn't show up.
I bet Vinny don't get invited.
I bet Vinny didn't get invited. And I bet he don't show up.
Yeah.
Because he can't shred. He would shred if he came.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee it. He would shred lettuce.
Shred a contract. Oh my gosh, Brian. You can't get better entertainment than that.
Yeah, but and I'll get to see you guys at some of the shows too, because I know I'm going to four. I'm going to Louisville, Columbus, Nashville, and Indy so far. I know you guys are going to be at a couple of those. So mm-hmm. I plan on hanging out with Bill tailgating at the Indy one. So
yep. Yep, but, I got a buddy's meet me up there. So,
yep.
Be fun.
Yep. And my wife told me that I get to go to the last show. So we'll see.
I would like to go, depending on where it's at and if it's doable.
Yep.
And if we know ahead enough ahead of time. I mean, I liked what Motley Crue did where they announced this is the end and this is going to be the last show. And I mean, And
they recorded it and it was terrible.
Yeah, well, I saw the second or third show and it was terrible too. So it didn't get any better.
Were you at the Indianapolis show?
Yeah.
When mixed guitar kept fucking up and he slammed it down on the ground and Nikki Sixx just walked over and kicked it a little bit. Hilarious.
And Vince runs up the ramp at one point and stand up there and his face is beat red. He's leaning over the edge of the thing. First song, leaning over the edge of the railing they had so he didn't fall off the railing and is huffing and puffing and begging somebody to give him oxygen on the first song. I looked at Noah and I looked at Dennis and I went, this is not going to be good. Yeah. You might have wanted to go to a gym and not a McDonald's, but hey, who knows? Who else did you guys have on your list? Because I had some other people. Did you have other people on your list?
I had Warrant. I had Dio, and even though Marilyn Manson is not an 80s band, I had Marilyn Manson on there. Yeah, you know, and I was just, again, going on artists that I had never seen that I really would have liked to have seen.
Yeah. So you never saw Warrant?
I never got to see Warrant.
I saw Warrant. It's a funny story.
Shut up, Brian.
Yeah, I know, Brian, whatever. I saw him 14 times, and we were like...
We were hanging out in Dennis's garage.
We saw him. They opened for Kingdom Come down in Louisville, Kentucky, at the state fairgrounds. They have free shows every year there for the state fair at the baseball stadium. And we went, and I said, "Wouldn't it be funny?" We went with another couple, and I said, "Wouldn't it be funny if like those guys showed up in like a bus, and Kingdom Come shows up in like a station wagon or whatever?" Yeah, because you can see the driving across, because they're driving across the baseball field. I mean, you can see them. So we're sitting there talking about it. There's a bus back there. Well, a week before the show is when Heaven went number one. All right. So I made this comment. So we're sitting there waiting for the show, waiting for it. And it's festival seating. So you just kind of sit wherever. And you see this, there's the bus back there. And you see this, I swear to God, I'm not kidding, a station wagon come across the come across the baseball field, and Kingdom Come gets out of the station wagon.
That is pretty funny.
And you can see him get out of the station wagon. And then you see the bus doors open, and then Warrant takes the stage. I'm like, it's just flipped. there's a I want to be a really band, really good band, and there's the band that's just about to kick your ass. And I'm telling you, it was really, really, really good. And well, I would not have come on if I was come save my life. I'd have just went, nah.
Well, isn't that kind of how Kiss was when they started? They opened for Blue Oyster Cult, and the next year Blue Oyster Cult opened for them.
Oh yeah,
that's funny.
Yep. Yeah, I had Judas Priest, and I had Queensryche. I love Queensryche. I mean, Operation Mindcrime is my absolute favorite album all time. I love that album. So, yeah, I had those two bands as well.
I had, I actually had Led Zeppelin on my list because it's just a band that I've always wanted to see and it's never going to happen. So, I mean, well, it can't happen because, you know, Jason Bonham isn't here anymore. But anyway.
John Bonham.
Yeah.
Jason's here.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm in here. Actually, I've seen Jason a couple times.
Yeah, Foreigner.
Yeah. But I also had on there, I had Rat, because back when Rat in the day, when they were on top of their game, they were really good. And I also had Quiet Riot, because I saw Quiet Riot headline. And that might have been the show I saw Brittany Fox, because I can't remember. It was a triple bill, and I can't remember exactly who it was, but it was... And that was a Theater of Pain tour, and it was, nope, that's the wrong band. So, well, that was Motley Crue. So it must have been Condition Critical tour is what I saw, something like that. But it was great. They were really good, and they were on it, and good band. I know you've seen them 40 times. I can't help it.
Yeah, well, yeah, they opened up the US Festival in '83 on Heavy Metal Day and stuff, and that was pretty awesome.
You know that they released that as an album. Yeah. You can find it on Spotify. I was listening to the Metal Health album the other day, and it said, you may also like, and I'm like, no shit. So I listened to that son of a bitch, man. I got burned out on Quiet Riot a couple of weeks ago.
Was that their first big show?
I believe it was.
Because I remember seeing a video or something about the. I remember seeing a documentary. It was Frankie Bellini's
Frankie Vanelli.
Yeah, it was his video talking about that. Yeah, talking about that. And they were showing some video from that. Yeah
and I think it, that same day or the day before is when their record went number one. It was the first. Yeah,
and they went out there and the place just erupted. It was crazy.
Yeah, not a lot of people there.
The only time I got to see Quiet Riot, and I think I've mentioned this before, was when the Metal Health lineup reunited in, it was either 93 or 94, and they were playing small clubs, and they come into Colorado Springs and played a country bar. It was pretty cool, but it was still pretty funny. Yeah. You know, and I was like, man, Kevin Dubrow has a lot more hair than he did the last time I saw him.
I saw Great White in a country bar up here in Indy. At the 8 Second Saloon one time. Actually, that's where I met him. That's when I met him the first time. Well, the only time so far. So, all right, what else we got?
Not much.
Not much?
Not nothing.
Brian, nope. Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you for the invite. That's pretty cool.
Thanks for the great idea and spending some time with us tonight.
Oh, yeah. 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 It was awesome hanging out with you guys at the Rock and Roll Residency that night and stuff. I still think about that. So.
Oh, yeah. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Yeah, what were your thoughts on that? We've only talked about that for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. No, it was amazing. It was just blown away. I mean, the only bad part was, and I know I on the way home, I was passing out every now and then because I was so tired and because I'm an early riser and I had been up since 4:30 that morning and then turned around and got up at 4:30. I got like an hour's sleep that night, but it was well worth it. The Gene Ace Frehley band, those guys are just amazing. I mean, up in Indy and stuff, that was the first time I ever seen them. And I was just, you know, blown away then. And then, you know, Todd Dammett Kearns. I mean, I know he wasn't at that show, but I mean, the vocals, that guy is just amazing too. All those guys. I mean, there's so many people that kind of on the, just on the outside of Kiss and stuff that, I mean, are great. I mean, they could take any combination of them and probably make a really good opening act for the Kiss tour. So do you guys think do you think we're going to get an opener? Or?
I think they have to have an opener. There's no way they're going to be able to do, there's no way they can do 2 hours. Well, I just don't see that happening.
We can dream though.
My thought was, what if they were to kind of like do sections, maybe play some early stuff, take a little break, show some video or something, and then play some like 80s stuff, you know, take a little break, show some video, and then, you know, finish it up or something. I mean, I could see them dragging it out. Plus, to give them a little, the old guys a little rest in between. But
I'd be all right with that. You know, apparently the pictures from the stage are, the stage is gigantic, but
yeah.
You know, it's better than Destroyer or something. I don't know. It's like, it's always better than something, but it looks pretty cool. At least the small pictures we've seen are little, you know, snapshots or whatever. But yeah, I'd be fine with it. I just don't know that's going to happen. And I don't think Paul can do that for very long. There's no way you can do that for very long.
Yeah. And I have no problem if they're using any kind of enhancements. I have no problem with it. It's Kiss. I love them. I've loved them since 74 and I'll be buy them for the rest of my life, probably.
Well, if, you know, I'm not, I'd rather it not be enhanced, but if it is, it is. I mean, they all read off teleprompter. It's funny. I was sitting in a bar the other night. I was at a bar here in Columbus the other night, and this, you know, a bar band comes in and they're setting up stuff like that, and they're getting ready to play. And this guy walks over and gets his iPad out and sticks it right beside the microphone. Yeah. It's attached to the, you know, he's got a thing that's attached to the microphone stand to hold his iPad.
Well, and there's like a really cool app called OnSong that most of us use to put our notes on there because we know so many songs that we've known for years, but we add all these new songs and we can't fucking remember them.
Yeah. But I made a comment. I said, that dude's in a bar band. He's going to play the same 20 songs he plays in the bar that he played in the bar band last week, and he can't remember the freaking songs. God dang. I said, it's just like cheap fest all the time. You know, and then they're like, I said, oh, by the way, Ozzy uses, you know, teleprompter with font size of about 4 billion. Because at one point he's standing there and they did something with the monitors and you could see the reflection on the screen. I swear to God, those letters were that freaking big.
Do they put them up one word at a time? Finish.
It is almost one word at a time. It is almost.
That is so funny.
But you know, and I get it. I mean, they get older and you get a lot of stuff. You got a lot of, but you know, if your set list isn't changing except for like once every 4 years, oh no, 15 years, 16 years, 17, whatever.
Hey, we're up to 19 years now, dude.
That's right. Sorry about that. You know, you at least ought to be able to try to remember, but whatever. But I'm going 3 times.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
So far, now they're going to be adding more shows. I'm hoping they play Evansville and couple other places around here, so
I still, you know, say I still say they should do that and call it Lost Cities 2.
Yep, that was my thought. I mean, because they're playing, look how many big cities are playing right off the bat, and if this is going to go 3 years, you know they got to pick up some small cities.
Well, they'll definitely have to pick up small cities, but I don't, now this is kind of weird, and you guys are going to think this is weird, and I know Dennis will give me crap about this, I do not want to see them in Evansville anywhere other than Roberts Stadium. And
well,
I can't,
you know, we could set up a big old arena, or not an arena. We could set up a stage out there in the middle of that field.
Set a stage up in the middle. But I would go for that, but I don't want to see them at Ford Center. I just, that to me would be, I don't know. If I didn't have any other options, that would be okay, but I have other options. And I want that to be. Last time I saw them there was on the Lost Cities tour, I think.
So what is your reasoning for not wanting to see them at the Ford Center?
My first show with them was at Roberts Stadium, and the last time I saw them was at Roberts Stadium, and that would be the, I just don't want to go to the, I, that's not my thing. Just a thing.
I mean, last time you saw them in Evansville.
Last time I saw them in Evansville.
Gotcha.
And now that it doesn't exist anymore. Every time I drive by there, when I was there over Christmas, I was like, son of a bitch. it just burns my ass and it's gone. And it's just because it means something. But I get it. And I get the whole reason they did it. And I mean, I remember back, do you remember back when they dug out the bottom of Robert Stadium to make it deeper so they could put suites in and all that kind of crap? And it could have been gone then, but it wasn't. So, yeah, just
it
personal
is
preference.
What it is. Got any final thoughts, Brian?
Nope.
All right, then. Well, I'll take us out of here. Folks, check us out on 80sofrock.com. Check out our Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Stitcher Radio. Don't forget to check out our replay on 195theglobe.com on Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Till next time, peace out. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.